From the American College of Cardiology, this is Dr. Kim Eagle, ACC.org Editor-in-Chief. With this week's Eagle's Eye View, this is your weekly cardiovascular update from ACC.org. Today I'm going to talk about two randomized trials having to do with percutaneous mitral valve repair, as well as an interesting research letter that came out in Circulation looking at the release of cardiac troponins after various types of endurance running that I think is interesting. The two mitral valve trials are called MITRA-FR and COAPT. So let's get started. The MITRA-FR study was a randomized trial carried out in France looking at the potential value of mitral valve repair percutaneously in patients with severe secondary mitral regurge. Patients were randomized 152 to each arm to either mitral valve repair or best medical therapy. The duration of follow-up was 12 months, about 70 years of age on average, 21% female. They included patients with symptomatic heart failure who were thought to have severe secondary mitral regurgitation, defined as a regurgitant orifice greater than 20 millimeters squared or regurgitant volume greater than 30 cc's per beat. And the ejection fraction in these patients ranged from 15 to 40%. Looking at the enrollment sites, I believe there were 37 sites in France, and they had to have done at least 5 percutaneous mitral clips in order to be eligible to participate in this study. So with those caveats in mind, the principal findings of this study is that the primary outcome, which was death or hospitalization for heart failure at 1 year, did not drop with the mitral clip. It was about 54% in the treated group and 51% in the medical group. Similarly, death occurred in approximately a quarter of both groups of patients, and hospitalization occurred in roughly half. And the interpretation of the MITRA-FR study was that patients with severe secondary mitral regurgitation, percutaneous mitral regurge repair with a mitral clip was not beneficial. It didn't lead to an endpoint reduction in hospitalization or cardiovascular death. There was incomplete reporting on echocardiographic parameters, so that aspect of the endpoint could not be ascertained. What's interesting is that in the same issue of the New England Journal this past week, the findings of COAPT were reported as well. This trial stands for Cardiovascular Outcomes Assessment of Mitral Clip Percutaneous Therapy for Heart Failure Patients with Functional MR, and was sort of a similar goal. The goal of the trial was to assess safety and efficacy of transcatheter mitral valve approximation using mitral clip in symptomatic heart failure and patients with secondary MR. The patients had to have grade 3 to 4 plus MR. They had to be symptomatic despite maximally tolerated guideline medical therapy, and they were randomized 1-to-1 to either a mitral clip or guideline medical therapy alone, roughly 300 patients in each arm. And as opposed to MITRA-FR, this trial followed patients out to 24 months. Similarly, the average age was about 72, but there were more females in this particular trial, 37%. The ejection fraction ranged from 20 to 50%, and the end-systolic dimension had to be less than 70 millimeters. The MR had to be moderate to severe 3+ or severe 4+, and it was validated by an independent core lab. Also, a cardiologist had to ascertain that it looked like the mitral valve regurgitation could be successfully treated with a mitral clip. Patients had to have at least one heart failure hospitalization within 12 months and or a BNP greater than 300 picograms per ml or an NT-BNP greater than 1,500 picograms per ml. Patients with stage D heart failure were excluded, as were patients with severe COPD, severe pulmonary hypertension, patients who had aortic or tricuspid valve disease that needed intervention, or patients with a limited life expectancy. The STS risk score in the patients studied was high, 8.1%, high surgical risk 69%, and about 61% had ischemic heart failure. And over half had been hospitalized within the previous year, and 36% had received CRT. Guideline medical therapy in the patients was high. 91% were on beta blockers. About 2/3 were on ACE or angiotensin receptor neprilysin inhibitors. and mineralocorticoid receptor antagonists were present in 50%. Now, as opposed to the MITRA-FR study, COAPT found a significant benefit. Heart failure hospitalization at 24 months was 35.8% in the MitraClip group versus 68% in the guideline medical therapy group. And the safety endpoint, freedom from device-related complications, was very high, 97% for the MitraClip group at 1 year. Interestingly, all-cause mortality was lower with the MitraClip, 29% versus 46%. And the combined endpoint of death or heart failure hospitalization was lower with the MitraClip, 45.7% versus 67.9%. And death, cardiovascular death, was lowered from 29% to 46%. Stroke was similar. The number of patients needing an LV assist device or heart transplant was twice as high with the guideline medical therapy group. And the MR severity dropped significantly in the MitraClip group, 99% versus 43%. So what explains the difference between the MITRA-FR and COAPT? I think there's a couple of things that are pretty obvious. First of all, the COAPT trial used centers and operators who were highly experienced using the MitraClip. And this is as opposed to in France, where simply the center had to have done at least five of these. Also, interestingly, in the COAPT trial, the MR was more severe. That is, the effective orifice area was greater than 30 in COAPT versus 20 in MITRA-FR. And in COAPT, the ventricles were less dilated, LVN diastolic volume 101 versus 135. So the MITRA-FR trial had generally less MR and more severe LV dysfunction versus COAPT, which had more MR and smaller hearts. And this probably was part of the reason for the difference, that if a ventricle gets completely dilated, then the likelihood fixing the MR is going to allow the ventricle to reverse remodel with a huge burden of MR is simply not logical. Clearly, the operator experience also comes to mind. I take away from these two trials that the MitraClip device can be very effective in patients with severe secondary MR, particularly if the MR is severe and the ventricle isn't huge and has at least some reasonable systolic function. And clearly, we want a heart team approach with highly experienced cardiologists and cardiovascular surgeons with imagers working together to identify the right patient for the right therapy. So two important trials that I think shed light on the current evidence surrounding mitral valve repair using the MitraClip. So the last article I want to talk about was just a research letter in Circulation. And we've all seen these studies that suggest that marathon runners release troponin at a significant pace after they run that long distance race. And we're all aware of some of these masters athletes who die suddenly during marathon running. And it certainly asks the question, is there harm from these long races? And how does that compare, for example, to races of shorter distance? So this was a study which was actually quite interesting. A group of investigators selected 63 healthy runners in triplets from a group of over 300, we'll call them recreational runners. And they selected triplets who were similar in age, 37 years, body size, and running experience. And then they got randomized to either compete in a 10-kilometer race, a half a marathon race, or a full marathon race. And each of the triplets, there were 21 people, 13 women and 8 men. And they measured various biomarkers before and 10 minutes after the race. And what was very interesting is if you looked at the competitions, the serum concentration of troponin I and T were significantly higher as the duration of exercise went up from a 10K to a half marathon to a marathon. The NT-proBNP and the creatinine kinase concentrations were only higher after a marathon. And the investigators suggest that the strain imposed on the myocardium by competing in a full marathon appears to be significantly more than running shorter distances like a 10K or even a half a marathon. It's really interesting. We have to learn more about whether or not these asymptomatic releases of cardiac troponins in this long, high-stress type of exercise can have a negative effect on the heart. As you know, there is some data suggesting that coronary calcification may happen sooner in people who are repetitively marathoning, particularly men. And being an athlete who likes to exercise an hour a day, I'm always fascinated by how much is the right amount of exercise to recommend. Certainly, these data are reassuring that cardiac biomarker release does not happen with 10K and even so much with half marathoning. But marathoning certainly is a big deal. It's a heavy stress, and we see cardiac biomarker release. And we need more information, of course. Generally, exercise is good, and generally more exercise is thought to be better than less. But this particular study is interesting to me, and I thought you might enjoy hearing about it. So I want to thank you for listening to Eagle's Eye View. This is your weekly cardiovascular update from ACC.org. And you can find these articles and clinical trial summaries on the ACC's website. Also, you'll find a new educational catalog on ACC.org. It's under the Education and Meetings tab. Using this tool, you can sort our various educational offerings by various formats, and many of these, of course, are free. Find us online or wherever you get your podcasts. And I hope you have a great week, and thank you for listening.